Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. So good to be back. Steve Paulette held down the fort last week. We did a best of show, but I try my best, even if I have to travel, to be here with you each and every Saturday. It's something that I really enjoy. My father used to listen to the radio. It's almost like I think of him every time I come and do this show. We lived in Far Rockaway, so he no longer had to commute to the city because he got a job in the post office in Far Rockaway and worked as a carpenter. But he still loved listening to the radio, particularly to the traffic report. I said, Dad, why do you want to still listen to the traffic? He goes, because I want to enjoy the fact that I don't have to deal with the commute anymore by the Elmhurst gas tanks, which I think they finally have taken down. Mike Thompson told me that. So the radio was very special to my dad. He used to love listening to someone named Gene Shepherd. And so that's why I probably persist in being on the radio. It's a real joy for me to think back. And I know tomorrow's Father's Day, so I'm particularly thinking about him. And I'm going to do a Father's Day show next Saturday. I already have just... Wait till you hear the story about the father relationship. Graham Nash from Crosby, Stills & Nash. What happened to his dad and why that father story is particularly strong in my head. But that'll be next Saturday show. So before I talk to you about my trip to Africa and the animals and art and sports and in surgery, I'll take a call. Let's go to AJ in Ventura. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Yeah, I've been told I have a candidate for a hip replacement.
Okay.
And I have an appointment with you in August.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And my question is...
Yes, sir.
I work out really hard. I train my legs and everything. I'm doing abductor, adductor, the bike.
What do you do for a living?
Exercise. Security.
Security. Nice. What did you do before you did security?
I had a business as a contractor for cable TV companies.
Nice. Did you grow up in California?
Oh, yeah.
What high school?
Chaffee High School in Ontario.
Ontario, California. Wow. That place used to be, I remember 1983 when I first came here, was wide open fields. Now it's nothing but shopping centers and houses. But it must have been incredible to grow up there, right? It was wide open spaces.
Yeah, back when Rancho Cucamonga was just called Cucamonga, and it was nothing but orange groves and fields and
beautiful.
Nothing there.
Beautiful. Any wild animals while you were growing up went by the house?
No, but we took a drive recently in a city called Bradbury. It's above Duarte in Azusa. And we were driving around looking for a house. We were driving about 5 miles an hour. And I looked out my window, and there's a little baby black bear just running right alongside me.
Oh, my God. There you go.
Amazing.
You don't need to go to Tanzania to see wild animals. We got them right here.
Well, there's a sign when you enter there that said you could see wild animals. We saw some deer. We saw like four deer go through a person's yard and just leap a 6-foot fence like it was nothing.
Wow. It's just amazing to see animals in the wild, even if they are jumping someone's fence in their front lawn. I just love it. It's a spiritual experience. No, AJ?
Yeah, it is. It really is.
And you listen to the show?
Yeah.
You like Clapper Vision?
Yeah.
All right. All right, let me see if I can help you with some. What's up? What's your question?
Okay, my question is, I do a lot of training, and I certain exercises hurt. Can I damp? They told me that there's severe arthritis and the ball and socket's really worn out.
Yes.
So when I feel that pain, can I work through it or do I have to stop? Can I further damage it?
Good question. Once you are at the point where you're bone on bone, you're not a candidate for a hip arthroscopy anymore. And forget about the idea that a shampoo is going to grow hair on top of my head. So don't let them talk you into that we're growing more cartilage into your hip. You basically have an end stage situation. So the answer is no. Certain diagnoses have a clock. If you told me, Dr. Clapper, my shoulder hurts, and I did an MRI and I saw a small tear in your rotator cuff, let me tell you something, AJ. There's a clock ticking. Because if you don't let me fix the small tear in your rotator cuff, it's not an emergency, but you should let me do it and not wait a year. Because if you wait and keep working through it, guess what's going to happen? The small tear is going to become a bigger tear. So I'm going to need to put more anchors, more surgery for me to have to fix it, and more of a recovery for you and your shoulder post-op. So there's a clock, all right? It makes a difference in terms of working through it and putting up with it. But if you're already end-stage bone-on-bone in your hip, whether you have surgery now, 6 weeks from now, 6 months from now, or 6 years from now, you are not making surgery harder for me to do or harder for you to recover from. So don't let anybody tell you that there's any kind of urgency. Your best benefit is to delete the bad things that are aggravating it pain-wise. Do more pool exercises, but there is no time frame in terms of when to do this. Absolutely not. So if you want to push through it, you can. If it hurts to do this, then don't do this, do that. Capiche?
Okay, and if once I get the hip replacement, will I still be able to develop my legs, or will that...
You're 58 years old. Unless you are taking anabolic steroids, you're not making bigger bulk no matter what. Yeah, and I don't recommend you take anabolic steroids. So the answer is you can tone what you have, but the idea that you're increasing the bulk, the atrophy that has occurred because you're not using your hip properly anymore because of the arthritis, you can tone what you have, but if there's any atrophy, it ain't coming back.
Okay.
Don't get depressed about it. This is all good.
But as far as flexing my quad and everything, that'll still work, right?
Of course. You're not going to limp. You won't have any pain. You're going to get your life again. I have story after story of people who are returning. We had William Shatner call into the show. I did his. He was 87 years old. Went home the next day, rode his horse 3 weeks later. You get your life back again, even if you're 87. It is something special. It's got to be done right, though. And that is why you want your surgeon to be an artist. You know what I mean? As much as I love talking about Michelangelo with a hammer and a chisel 500 years ago, he didn't need a robot. He didn't use a computer. He didn't have a laser. He used a hammer and a chisel to make the greatest piece of artwork that you couldn't even make nowadays with a laser and a robot and a computer. He did it with his hands. And that, to me, is what's so special. You don't have to be a sculptor like me, but you want someone. If they're going to be your surgeon, you want them to be an artist. That, to me, is the highest... You're a security person. The greatest compliment some company can bestow upon you, AJ, is they'll say, you know that guy, AJ? That guy's an artist in security. That's, to me, the highest praise. LeBron James is an artist. Kobe Bryant is an artist. That's what you want no matter what you... Whether you're Vincent LaPorcio, the greatest plumber in Los Angeles, he's an artist in plumbing. That's the compliment. Capiche?
One more question. What determines whether you have a full hip replacement or a partial?
The anatomy, I do a lot of what's known as surface replacements called a Birmingham hip. And I had Dr. Ed Sue from Special Surgery as a guest a few weeks ago. Your age, 58, you're kind of pushing it. I have patients in their late 50s that I've done that to. But the anatomy, there's a great expression, men make plans and God laughs. Your anatomy dictates what the right thing to do. But the technology is amazing. Minimally invasive. Don't cut the muscle. Smaller implants. Use ceramics if you can. A dual mobility prosthesis. All these beautiful things that we have now that we didn't have before. So that depends on what you bring to the table. What is the anatomy that God gave you? And that's what you got to work with.
Okay. All right. Look forward to seeing you on August 8th.
All right, young man. A pleasure to talk to you. And thanks for taking time. All right, let's get into, AJ, I want you to do me a favor. Find a total stranger today. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me. Let's do some, my trip to Africa. You know what? I'm just going to keep going. We'll do the rest of it at 8:15. We'll start all over. Let's take a call. All of you hang on. Let's go to Daniel in Oxnard. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
How you doing, Dr. Clapper?
How are you, Daniel? What do you do for a living?
Well, thanks. I'm an electrical contractor.
Wow. Have you ever been shocked?
Oh, yeah.
Now I know you're a real electrical contractor, because if you said you were an electrical contractor and you just said, no, I've never been shocked, then I would know you're lying.
Because I fried my nerves and tendons in my hands one time with some 270.
There you go. Thank you. Then you are the real deal, because if you really do this for a living... No matter how careful you can be, sometimes, some way, somehow, you let your guard down for a millisecond, and bada boom, you get thrown across the room. So good for you. All right, young man, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Oxnard.
You did? You grew up in Oxnard, and you're 43, and you still live in Oxnard.
Yes, I do.
That's phenomenal. What high school did you go to?
My Channel Island High School.
That's amazing. Do you surf?
No.
Daniel, how could you live in Oxnard and not be a surfer? Oh, my God, I'm so jealous. That's fantastic. What did your father do for a living?
My father, well, my father passed away when I was 4 years old. But oh. He worked for Northrop Grumman.
Oh, that's so, okay. Well, then, do you have any kids?
I do. I have 7 kids.
So you made up for it. They all have you as their dad. Isn't that unbelievable? 7 of them running around.
Absolutely. True blessing.
It's a true blessing. It's exactly right. Oh, this is fantastic. And your wife, does she work?
No. Homemaker.
Yeah, with 7 kids, I can't imagine her being anything but that. How old are your kids?
My oldest is 19, 18, 16, 15, 13, 12, and 10.
Wow. What an unbelievable thing.
6 boys and 1 girl.
You have 8 boys and 1 girl.
No, 6 boys and 1 girl.
6 boys and 1. Oh, my God. That's unbelievable. Daniel, you should have a radio show. I just want to hear about what you think about in life. That's amazing. Good for you. You listen to the show?
Absolutely, I do. I love your show. I love your analogies. I love the way that you explain things. You make it very, very simple to understand.
Well, thank you for saying that. And the reason I get up every Saturday morning to do the show is for you, Daniel. It's just for you and the Weekend Warrior Nation. It's really great to know that people get a kick out of it. And how can I help you? What's up?
So I just bought a house, been working on my house, been doing some hard labor. Mm-hmm. About 3 months ago, I don't know I don't know exactly what I was doing, but I started getting this pain on the top of my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been going on for 3 months now. Every morning when I get up, I guess because my body's cold, it's really, really, it hurts really bad. I can't lift anything. And when I try to lift something, it hurts. So I'm trying to understand if you can maybe give me an idea of what's going on.
So here's the key, though. In being a doctor, the history, and it's up to you, the doctor, to figure out how to get the history out of a person. Just like you as an electrical engineer, you know, when the light in the room is flickering, people think, okay, it can only be one thing. No. It could be that the light bulb's not screwed in tight enough to the socket. It could be the connection of the socket to the wiring is frayed. It could be that the insulation is cracked on the wiring itself because it's an old lamp. It could be the plug going into the wall got hit by the vacuum cleaner when cleaning up and kind of pulled the plug a little bit out of the socket so that it's connected but not really connected. You know what I mean? It's like a flickering light can mean 5 different things could be the problem, correct?
Right, you got to diagnose it.
Exactly right. There's no difference. You know, God forbid a doctor would say that their skill set is like an electrician, but the reality is get over yourself. It's exactly the same thing for a car mechanic when the car is sputtering. Is it the carburetor? Is it the spark plug? Is it the wiring? I mean, you go through the fancy term we use in medicine. It's called a differential diagnosis. What could it make a list? 7 things, 6 things, 5, and then you have to go after them. So the history is very important. The physical exam, the studies that we do, long before we get to what to do about it, the key, which is the key, is the diagnosis, and it all starts with the history. And this is why I hate the current medical system that we have now, where the stupid HMOs are running everything, because right away they're going to tell Daniel and Oxnard to go to therapy. Before you do it, they're not going to let you, Daniel, to get an MRI unless you go to therapy first. What are you, crazy? How do you know what the hell you're treating in therapy unless you have a diagnosis? And how do you not have a diagnosis? You need an MRI, because when you're talking about a shoulder, you're going to need that. But it all starts with the history, because, Daniel, there are 2 things that cause shoulder pain. One is the problem is in your shoulder, and a 43-year-old guy, rotator cuff, bursitis, torn labrum, arthritis, there's all AC joint. There's many things, just like the flickering light bulb, that it can be. But shoulder pain that comes from the shoulder as the source is pain where the top of the shoulder is going into the arm, but it never radiates pain into the elbow, forearm, wrist, and hand. Because if you have shoulder pain that goes below the elbow or into the shoulder blade and up into the neck, then what is the second reason you could have shoulder pain? Your neck. So if your pain is isolated into the shoulder itself and it radiates into the arm but doesn't go below the elbow, then yes, your shoulder is the source. And don't let them shoot you up with cortisone or give you pills for this. You need a diagnosis. So someone smart needs to examine you. You need an x-ray. And 3 months, in my opinion, is a long enough period of time for you to warrant an MRI. And I want you to get that MRI, Daniel. You tell him you got a second opinion with Dr. Clapper if they give you a hard time. And then you'll call here and I'll be happy to translate the MRI with some Clapper vision and tell you what to do. You want to try your best to avoid surgery, even though I'm a surgeon telling you to do that. But in my heart, that's what I believe, and that's how I practice. I love being a surgeon, but there's a time and place for it. You first want to try to avoid it, not with pills or shots that mask the problem, but actually holistically to try to change it with the right kind of exercise, with a good physical therapist. But first, you need a diagnosis. Capiche? You got it, Daniel?
Yes, sir. I got you.
All right. So you go Monday, you tell him, listen, I pay enough money for in premium to have insurance. You guys better get me an MRI, and then I'm going to call Dr. Clapper. All right?
Will do. Thank you very much.
Daniel, I want you to do me a favor. Find a total stranger today. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
You got it, Doc. I appreciate it.
All right. God bless you. All right, Warriors, we'll take a break. Coming up next, got so much to talk about. I haven't even got into Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. But I do want to talk about Marshawn Lynch and why he's called Beast Mode. And also, the Animals in Art, the group The Animals, and Eric Burdon. And don't forget about the food, the rice Swahili soup that I had. Coming up next on the Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Shakira, Waka Waka. Fantastic. All right, the number is 877-710-ESPN, but I'm not going to actually take any calls. If you want to get in the line, in the queue, that's fine. But this segment, I want to talk a little bit about Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. Because while I was in Africa, people were texting me, can you please come on? But my phone would not work while I'm in the the Serengeti Plains. Thank you very much. I was not going to be able to call in from Africa, East Africa. Which is kind of interesting, you know, this key moment in sports medicine occurring while I'm away. But everything happens for a reason. All right, so if they want me this week, then I will explain. But you guys get the benefit of some of the Clapper vision. The big question was, is a calf strain relatable to the Achilles tendon? The whole idea of should he have played, not played? He's a professional athlete. He gets to do whatever he wants to do. But how could you not associate the anatomy? So let me give you a couple of Clapper visions in relation to the calf muscle and the Achilles tendon. So if you feel your leg right now, feel the back of your knee and actually feel your calf muscle. Here's the first Clapper vision. A hamburger. A hamburger with lettuce and tomato, with the lettuce being that beautiful crispy lettuce that goes beyond the bun itself. So when you feel the skin in the back of your calf muscle, that's the bun of the hamburger. The other bun, we'll get into the hamburger and the lettuce in a second, but the other half of the hamburger bun is your tibia and fibula bone. So you can feel the top bun, which is the skin in the back of the muscle. And I'm here to tell you the other half of the bun that's deeper is the bone itself, the tibia and the fibula. What you're feeling as the width, you know how that lettuce sticks out further than the bun in a hamburger? That is the part of the calf muscle called the soleus. It's not the gastroc. The gastroc is the bun, but that lettuce that sticks out wider than the bun, the lettuce, is the soleus muscle, because what is going on is the calf muscle itself is made up of two heads, the big toe and the little toe side of the gastroc, It's not one big muscle there. It's two heads. And why would you imagine there are two heads there? And it's because down the center of the back of your leg, where the two heads come together, is where the artery and the nerve dive down in between the muscle. So if you took a scalpel and actually incised right dead center, you'd have to go deep through the muscle. Right down the center there, though, is where you're going to find the tibial nerve. Boom, right down here in the center, coming off the sciatic nerve. The muscle, however, that's deep, the latus, is the soleus. So these two wide muscles. It's fascinating to me is how these muscles are anchored to the bone. So here's a clapper vision, another one that I'm going to give you. And it's related to my trip to Africa. And I think Steve, you'll play some music because this clapper vision should have some African sound effects. So in this one area, the Serengeti Plains, which goes for thousands of miles, where the great migration occurs of 2.5 million wildebeest and zebras are making their way across because of the grass that they have to graze on. Thousands of miles they're traveling through rivers where the crocodiles and the hippopotamus are. I mean, it's unbelievable what you get to see in East Africa. But these wildebeest and zebra, this migration that takes place, I am actually in a tent in the Serengeti Plains. That's one of the places I stayed at, which was remarkable. So what does a tent look like? A tent is a trapezoid, right? It's triangular roof, and then it becomes rectangular. Inside this triangular roof, there's a bed that I'm sleeping on. But because you have to worry about malaria, they have a mosquito net. So a bed is a square shape inside this building with a triangular roof. And these geometric shapes made me think of Kevin Durant. The only show in America that would make such an association, by the way. So what they did was they have hooks coming off the wall of the triangular roof of the tent. Four of them. So that this rectangular square-shaped mosquito net can hang over the square-shaped bed that has a triangle up above. And I couldn't help but think about these hooks that the mosquito net was attached to anchor this netting that would be above my square-shaped bed in the triangular-shaped tent. Because that's exactly what's happening with the calf muscle. It is hooked, like that mosquito net is, to allow the draping of the muscle over the bone. That soleus muscle I just told you about is hooked on in one spot to the tibia. And there's another hook on the other bone in the back of your leg called the fibula. That's where these two hooks are where the soleus muscle is attached. Well, I got news for you. There's a second mosquito net hanging. Where are the two hooks for the mosquito netting to be hanging above the bed where the muscles need to hang from to form the calf muscle? The gastroc muscle, the one that you're feeling right below the skin, that muscle has its two hooks on the two condyles of the thigh bone, of the femur, not just in one spot. And I want you to appreciate they're hooked on in these spots. It's not draped completely across the bone. It's actually anchored like two tendons anchoring on a hook, like the mosquito netting is being held up there by those hooks. That's what's allowing the muscles to drape across the back. These big muscles then come together to form a canvas-like material, the beginnings of the Achilles tendon. And as that Achilles tendon, you can feel the back where the muscles themselves start to flatten and form the lower third of your tibia, of your lower leg. You don't have muscle there anymore. You have just that flat band like a leather belt. But that leather belt is now slowly becoming a rope. And ultimately, that rope, which is the attachment of the Achilles tendon, before it gets into the bone, the calcaneus, under the microscope, what do we see? We see that it rotates 90 degrees. It doesn't strap into the bone like a flat leather belt would attach to the heel bone, the back of the calcaneus. It rotates. Why does it rotate? Because anytime you rotate something, it strengthens it. And that goes for I-beams in construction. It goes for how your Achilles tendon is rotated in terms of its ability to give you strength in your knee. When the body rotates something, it gives it strength. When you make steel, for example, they bang on the steel and twist it because that gives it more strength. Twisting means strength. So those calf muscles, which ultimately become the Achilles tendon, are intimately related. And yes, if something is torn microscopically, which was what a strain is, how could that not affect what ultimately happens down further? Now, you can argue they're two separate events, which some people do, and I'm not going to even get into that. But the anatomy is they are totally part of one structure, which is what allows you to leap as well as land softly. So Kevin Durant, well, had surgery. He went to the hospital for special surgery. Marty O'Malley, who was the surgeon involved with his bone grafting of his Jones fracture, which, by the way, is on the same foot that we're talking about here. So you're dealing with repairing and reattaching and locking your stitches to have that torn tendon become one again. Kevin Durant will return with a vengeance and have the resurrection of his career. But yes, I cannot imagine he'll be back next year, even in the playoffs time. It'll probably take him a whole year to rehab because you're not just talking about returning to function. You're talking about NBA function, which is a whole nother level. But I look forward to him surprising us. Michael Crabtree surprised everybody with his return from his Achilles tendon. You know, a lot of people have made returns faster because one of the things we know better now in our rehab is how to rehab the muscle. This is a fancy term, eccentrically loading the muscle versus concentrically loading the muscle. I'll just leave it at our abilities to be more sophisticated with the rehab protocol is really a helpful thing. In addition, the materials that we use as the sutures are made from this bulletproof material, a Kevlar-type material called fiber wire. There have been so many beautiful improvements in our technology, but Kevin Durant will be back. The politics of where he will he re-sign, will he go someplace else because of free agency is just even more fascinating than the games themselves. But thanks to modern technology, look, this is not a career-ending injury by any means. He'll be back good as new. All right, coming up next, I want to talk about animals. The animals in art, in sports, and in surgery. And also want to talk about food. I hope I have time. I need 4 hours today, Steve Paulette. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors show here on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. We're listening to the Animals, the iconic group from the 60s. It's My Life. Eric Burdon singing because I'm back from safari in Tanzania. What a great time I had. It made me think all trip. I want to do a show about what I'm seeing here in Africa. How animals behave. How the pride of lions, the young males trying to be the leader in that pride. The elephants, the zebras, all these beautiful families that you got to see. How animals really behave. And it made me think about Doris Day.
You know, the other other day I saw on television something, news thing, you know, some frantic thing where the gunmen were going crazy and they're having a shootout, and the one man said he was behaving like an animal. Animals don't do that. They're terrific. They're calm, they're peaceful, they're loving. What I figure is that inhuman beings behave that way, not animals.
Yeah.
She's right. In medicine, Dr. Chip Cornell, Charles Cornell, early in the 80s in my life, 1984, when I first came up with the ideas I had that ultimately I patented tools, new tools for the operating room for hip surgery, knee surgery, shoulder surgery. And some of the guys at that hospital tried to steal that idea because I was a young resident and wanted to go with it for themselves. And he protected me. And I ultimately did patent those tools and millions of cases all over the world used the tools that I came up with. But when I saw those animals, I thought of Chip Cornell and how he protected me. In Africa, I saw a water buffalo birth a new calf and saw her join the herd. And immediately, the big male bulls of the herd surrounded her and the calf. We were in the Jeep looking at us like, don't even think of coming near here because we're going to protect her. How the lions, they all protect those cubs that are in the pride. Doris Day is right. Animals don't behave that way. They behave more civilized than many times humans do. In the art world, there's actually a group from the 60s called the Animals. Here's the biggest hit they had. The House of the Rising Sun came out in 1966 and was huge. The problem with it is that the members in this group behaved like, I won't say animals, but inhumans to each other. Because this song was in the public domain. The writer was probably someone in the late 1800s. Who wrote that blues song? It was in the public domain, so you couldn't own it. But you could manipulate it and work with it. And Eric Burdon, the lead singer of the Animals, loved finding old blues songs because of their heritage, because of the simplicity. Eric Burdon was special. When I visited Africa these last 2 weeks, when I looked into the eyes of a leopard or of an elephant that came charging at us in the Tarangire Reserve, I thought he was going to turn the Jeep upside down because we were in his way. But from a distance, when that animal looks at you, maybe there's people in another Jeep, it makes it feel like you're the only person in the world. Well, Eric Burdon had that gift.
Eric has this thing which you can't teach anybody. They've either got it or they haven't got it. When he walked on the stage, he would appear to be talking to every individual in the audience. He'd appear to be singing the songs to individuals in the audience.
Baby, I had to dance.
It's not an art because art can be developed. It's just a gift.
Start a clapping my hands.
Listen more to the story.
Eric Burdon refused to acknowledge any distance between himself and the material. He was like a little battering ram trying to knock down any obstacle that stood between him and the emotion of the moment. There was none of that artful, self-mocking distance which characterized Jagger.
He was raw like what you would see visiting Africa.
The fact that the Animals were dependent on outside sources for most of their material, that they didn't have an onboard songwriter, meant that in a sense, instead of being able to pass through their sources, they ended up exploring them in greater depth.
One can write until the cows come home, but there are some simple pieces of bluesology that are such poetry, such finely tuned, minimalistic, few words that mean so much, you know. I love to be able to take a real super, you know, 1920 penned blues tune that nobody knows or has heard of, or very few people have heard of, and turn it into something that's, you know, for the general ear.
But here's where the wheels come off the wagon.
Okay, can I ask you about House of the Rising Sun now and the whole disagreement with it, which is the thing that, I mean, obviously I've got to ask you about that.
No, you haven't.
And House of the Rising Sun was the band thing, it was the band crusade. Hey, we want to record this.
First of all, I taught the chords to Hilton Ballantyne.
But House of the Rising Sun came about by Hilton's suggestion, 100%. You know, it was his idea all along.
Then I made them rehearse it and play it in...
This is Alan Price, 12, the keyboard 4, 6, opera, time, you want to call player.
Pricey wouldn't have anything to do with it. He walked out every time we started playing the song.
Pricey turned around to us and said, can you not play something else? Because that is so corny. You know, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. So corny, said.
And so we just did the whole thing, and we all just, well, Pricey can piss off the stage when we play it.
And I turned up and I says, you play your keyboards, I'll play my guitar.
We were sitting there and we were saying, well, what's the credits on this song? You know?
The thing about it is it was
the one guy
song. You know,
took
it didn't
the
have
credit.
A known author. So anybody who recorded that song could claim a writer's royalty from it, in fact, by saying arrangement by so-and-so.
You know, we all arranged it, except Pricey, who wasn't there at the time.
I didn't want to take credit, but people who are sharper than myself aggressively told me by putting Neil Begins to War that I had to put my name upon it.
When the record came out, there was only Alan Price's name on the record.
We understand the royalties would be shared, but as it happens, Alan's received all the royalties.
One guy got the royalties, not the band. And finally, here's Eric Burdon.
That was the experiment that the Animals was. That's the way I have to look at it in order to stop myself from going nuts, because I have to sing this song every night with this guy in England who I haven't seen for 20 years is sitting back watching his TV, smoking his pipe with his missus, getting paid for me being out there singing. But I'm cool. I'm not bitter. I'm bitter sweet.
Ironically, the group called the Animals actually behaved worse than animals. All right, coming up next, last segment, you're listening to the Weekend Warriors Show on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Just have a couple of minutes. First, let's talk about Klay Thompson. Feel the back of your thigh right now, the back. That's your hamstring. Front of your thigh, quadriceps muscle. The back of your thigh, those hamstring muscles, when that muscle contracts, essentially helps you pull the tibia bone backwards. The quadriceps, when it fires, pulls your lower leg forward when it contracts. These are dynamic ways to stabilize your knee. So if you have any kind of damage, injury to your hamstring, you lose that help that it can give the ACL in your knee. So they are associated. The hamstring and the ACL, one is a dynamic stabilizer to keep your leg from going forward. That's the muscle. The other is a static stabilizer, the ligament. You need both. There's a connection between that injury and tearing your ACL. And finally, I want to talk about food. I had something in Africa, a Swahili rice soup. You boil the water, you put the rice in, pour it in the blender once it's super cooked, the rice, and that is rice soup. You add salt and pepper to it. It was the most, they actually infused it with some ginger. One of the most delicious things I've ever had, and I cannot wait now that I'm back to try making this at home, a Swahili African rice soup, because this is what you cook when you don't have much. But let me tell you something. The thickness, the way the flavors fused together in this simple recipe was phenomenal. Put it on your bucket list. Go visit Africa. See where mankind began and go see those animals. I don't think my life will be the same going forward because of this special trip I was on. Next week, it'll be a special Father's Day edition. Can't wait to put it together for you to listen to. And thanks so much for telling your friends, your family all about the show. Really appreciate it. Until next week, I'll see you on the radio.